The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Hour number three of The Drive underway. Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock. Russell Smith back with you here on Fan Run Radio, and we start off the 5 o'clock hour with the second most famous Grant that is associated with Tennessee basketball. Grant Ramey, GoVols 247, making his presence felt this afternoon on The Drive. Hello, Grant. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful, man. How are you today?
Hey, doing very well. Thanks for jumping in. Talk to me a little bit about Tennessee basketball, where the Vols are at right now. It's hard to say that a team that's 23-2, whatever they are, is struggling, but there's definitely a, I would say, vibe of discontent, but just like there's, I don't know, man, there's something going on. How would you describe it?
I don't think the sky is falling yet. I don't think there's any need to panic yet. I think they've just kind of had a bad couple nights at the office the last two games out. Obviously, the Kentucky game was what it was, a really big stage for them to really do something, and they just kind of no-showed, and they just weren't the team that they've shown that they can be all year. And then it was a pretty, sleepy performance against Vanderbilt, I guess. But, you know, Rick Barnes hasn't seemed concerned. We talked to Rob Lanier today, the associate head coach. He said, you know, they don't seem concerned. There's nothing really to turn around. They just kind of feel like they have to keep doing their thing, and they'll shoot out of the swamp or shooting woes or whatever they want to call it. Because, I mean, they've been a really good offense all year. They've been pretty elite, shot over 50% as a team, best scoring offense in the league in the SEC. So you would expect at some point they snap out of it.
Well, going to have to snap out of it Saturday because I think, you know, despite what happened LSU last year, last night, obviously they're having a really nice season, and that's going to be a hostile environment despite the early tip and all that stuff. So, do you think the effort we saw against Vanderbilt, which was a solid defensive effort, good enough to win by 12, but it's Vanderbilt. Do you think that kind of performance will get the job done Saturday in Baton Rouge?
No, I don't think it'd come close to getting the job done. LSU's a good basketball team. They got a lot of talented pieces. Tremont Waters at point guard. Naz Reid at forward. He can do a bunch of stuff. Tremont can score it at every level, and he's a really good defensive point guard. This is, if not the best offensive rebounding team in the country, they're one of the best. They crashed the glass really hard. That's obviously something Tennessee doesn't do very well. Tennessee's going to have to score a lot. LSU's not the best defensive team in the league by any stretch of the imagination. I think they're 75th in defensive efficiency on KenPom.com. So Tennessee's going to have to hit some shots early, settle in, find some comfort down there. And I'm interested to see how they start that game. Just because of how poorly the Kentucky game went, and they had a chance to kind of make a statement in that game on ESPN primetime. Now they're on ESPN again. It's a noon game, but it's still a pretty big statement game when you're number 5 facing number 13.
Rick Barnes has alluded to a couple of injuries. He hasn't been specific about who, but, I mean, it seems pretty obvious that Grant, a little bit banged up, maybe a couple of other guys as well, Grant Williams, that is. Fatigue? Injuries, do you think that's a concern, or is that just an excuse as we see, you know, Reed Travis out for Kentucky, Zion goes down last night? It's that time of the year where teams are banged up.
Yeah, I think it's a lot to do with it this time of year. You're in this kind of rut right here where you've been playing for 3.5 months or so. You're still a month removed from Selection Sunday. Everybody at this time of year kind of starts looking towards the seeding and all that stuff for the postseason, and you kind of get lost, and this is kind of the time of year when teams just kind of go through some weird situations. I wouldn't be surprised if Grant Williams is banged up at all or just a little bit sore. As much physical abuse he takes night in and night out in the minutes he plays and the load he has to carry. And this is a team that hasn't had a really deep bench, obviously, all season. It's been like a seven-man rotation, it seems like, at most. Once you get past basically Jordan Bowden on the bench, it's limited minutes for Derek Walker, Jalen Johnson, John Fulgerson, those guys. So, and Rick Barnes is not a guy that really empties the bench when games get out of hand, as they did some earlier in the season. So I think it's wear and tear more than anything.
Another theory that's out there is, you know, it's late in the season, the tape is out. These are professional coaches. They all they can look at, you know, you got a dozen league games on tape. Everybody's going to go and look at the Kentucky game and say, oh, they got really physical with Tennessee. That's the key. I don't know if I buy that either, though, Grant, because these are the same guys that won the league last year. Like, I would think that, and I don't, from my vantage point, I'm no expert, I suppose, but it doesn't seem like they're doing anything terribly different, maybe just a little bit more efficiently early in the season. Do you think that Tennessee might have to freshen up their approach schematically?
I don't think so. I really honestly, and that's a good point you make, what this team did last year, it's not like they just snuck up on everybody this season and this success kind of came out of nowhere. People thought this was going to be a good basketball team. Nobody thought they were going to win 19 in a row and be ranked number one for a month or whatever. But they took advantage of a pretty soft stretch in the schedule, and they won a lot of basketball games. And I don't think you score it at the rate they score it and are as balanced as they are to just blame it on maybe somebody scheming you up and kind of your identity's too far out there. I just think there's too many guys on this team, too many contributors that are slumping kind of all at the same time. Admiral Schofield hasn't really been the player that he was earlier in the season. It's one thing to score 16 points, but it's another thing when you need 17, 18 shots from the field to do it. That's not an efficient number at all. Kyle Alexander's slumping really hard right now. It looks like he's got some, I don't know, confidence issues. He just looks kind of shaky out there. And then Jordan Bowden's missed shots the last couple of games. So when you get those guys all kind of slumping together, it's gonna hurt you because you're a team that's known for your offense, and you don't have a ton of defense to back it up on a nice when the offense is slow.
Grant Ramey, GoVols 247, with us here this afternoon on The Drive. Grant, we were talking about comparisons between Tennessee and other teams when you talk about the Vols chasing for a one seed in the NCAA tournament. KenPom.com has Tennessee's strength of schedule rated 145th in the country right now. It would stand to reason that that's going to raise up a little bit here after games against LSU and Kentucky and maybe Mississippi State down the stretch here, Auburn. But do you think that, you know, some of the teams they played earlier, Wake Forest, Georgia Tech, maybe not having the greatest of seasons is coming back to hurt them a little bit?
Yeah, they definitely played. They played ACC teams. I think Rick Barnes likes to play ACC teams, but they obviously played two of the weaker, if not the weakest, teams out of the ACC in Georgia Tech and Wake Forest. And you look at the SEC, it kind of is what it is. I mean, you have Kentucky, Tennessee, and LSU. South Carolina's decent numbers. Florida might be a bubble team. Alabama could still be within reach of the bubble. I think part of the factor here is the SEC is just kind of average once you get past those top three schools, those top three programs, trying to figure out kind of what's going on from there. It's just kind of a mess of 5, 6, 4 lost teams, whatever, in the standings. So I don't think that helps because the last couple months during that win streak, you had a lot of very mediocre SEC teams on the schedule. And obviously, it's going to pick up a little bit because you're going to LSU, you're going to Ole Miss next week. That's not going to be easy. Then you got Kentucky and Mississippi State at home. Those are two good basketball teams, obviously. And then you go to Auburn to end the season. So regardless of the strength of schedule and all the metrics, Tennessee's going to be tested heavily the next couple weeks, 2.5 weeks, and they're going to have to find some answers.
The second Kentucky game is shaping up to be such a huge game, and I know Rick Barnes is going to focus on the task at hand and LSU Ole Miss before that. But you talk about the revenge angle for Tennessee. Obviously, it's a huge game with conference championship implications, NCAA tournament implications. But it's also shaping up to be a huge game for recruiting, as I know Tennessee is going to have several visitors. Walker Kessler, young man I'm sure you've heard of, Grant, five-star player, one of the top players in the country for the class of 2020. Sounds like he might be able to reclassify and actually get into a position to play next year. He likes Tennessee. Rick Barnes has been visiting him lately, says he's going to come in for the Kentucky game. What can you tell us about that young man and other players that might be visiting for the Vols and Wildcats?
He is a Walker Kessler. He's an extremely talented 6'10", obviously big man, center, but he's a five-star kid, and he's a guy that's got range. I think he's number 16 overall in the 2020 class out of Georgia. He has bloodlines that go through the Georgia basketball program. He's got the likes of Duke and North Carolina after him. And considering the reclassification to 2019, obviously Tennessee would find a way to make that work if that was the destination. But he would be huge by any stretch of the imagination, what he could bring as a big man with the skill that he has and the touch that he has. Another guy out of Jacksonville, Florida, we have him as a five-star in the 247 sports ratings. Corey Walker Jr. I think he's maybe the number 22 overall guy. He was here a couple weeks ago on an unofficial visit, and he's already coming back for the Kentucky weekend for an official visit. It seems like Tennessee is in a really good spot with him. It seems like they're gaining a lot of ground on him here recently. So it's going to be a huge weekend. Obviously, Kentucky, they've had their number in Knoxville the last couple of years, but those games, of course, were played in January, and here this one is in March. So it's going to be a huge, huge weekend with on-the-court and off-the-court implications.
Were you surprised that Kentucky was so much more physically dominant against Tennessee in that game? I mean, I think everybody kind of knew that certainly there was a losable game anytime you play Kentucky in Rupp Arena, but, boy, they really took it to the Vols.
Yeah, and you look at P.J. Washington, he's gave Grant Williams fits.
Wow.
The last couple, three meetings, whatever it's been. Tennessee came back last year in Knoxville in the second half, outscored Kentucky by 19 because P.J. Washington was out of the game and struggling with cramping and stuff like that. I was surprised because of how physical this Tennessee team wants to kind of build itself as and kind of build their identity on that. I was more surprised at how Kentucky has the best defense in the league, obviously, if you look at the scoring totals, but just the way Kentucky kind of forced Tennessee into bad shots and not sharing the ball. And it looks like five guys on the floor, every guy on the floor is just trying to take it over on his own. And that's not this Tennessee offense that we've seen all year. They share the ball. They do the extra passes to get the better looks. And they can beat you with a lot of different guys. At Kentucky, it's just like they didn't know what to do. So I think that's a credit to the Rupp atmosphere, which was pretty crazy Saturday night. It's a credit to their defense. And what Reed Travis was able to do against Grant Williams, only giving up four field goal attempts all night, that makes his absence moving forward. Sounds like Kentucky's just trying to get him back for the postseason. Could be huge down the stretch as they try to figure out who these one seeds are. I mean, Kentucky's without Reed Travis, now Duke's without Zion Williamson for who knows how long. It's going to be a really interesting couple of weeks.
Do you think LSU losing at home to Florida last night helps Tennessee, hurts Tennessee as far as this game is concerned Saturday, or has no impact at all?
It has an impact. I think it makes LSU a little bit more motivated, probably like it made Kentucky a little bit more motivated last week when they were coming off the loss. It helps Tennessee in the standings because anytime a team has another loss and you're in a side of a race, as Tennessee and LSU and Kentucky are, that helps. It's still a big deal at Tennessee to win a regular season SEC title. It's going to be an even bigger deal if you can go back-to-back as SEC regular season champions, even if it's shared both times. So I think it's a big deal for LSU. I think it's a big deal for Tennessee because it's going to be a really close race coming down the line.
All right, good stuff. Grant, we appreciate your time. As always, we'll catch up again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Grant Ramey, GoVols247. Follow him on Twitter for all the latest on Tennessee athletics at Grant Ramey. Bear, what did you learn?
Grant likes our chances on Saturday.
Do you like our chances on Saturday?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're going to turn it back on, it's time to turn it back on, right?
Yeah.
If we lose Saturday, can we repeat as conference regular season champions?
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be kind of tougher. Yeah. Might end up tied for it, but.
Yes, you can.
Well, you can, but will we?
I don't know.
I don't know about outright if we lose. Probably not outright.
So if we lose, it would be
Tennessee, Kentucky, LSU, all with two losses apiece?
Yep.
And how does it is? What are the tiebreaker scenarios there?
I have no idea.
It would just be a three-way title.
Well, for the regular season, yeah, I don't know how they, because they would have to have some kind of tiebreaker for the seeding in the SEC tournament.
So you're assuming at that point, if it's a three-way championship, that we beat Kentucky and then win out after losing to LSU. Well, we could, or vice versa, we could beat LSU and lose to Kentucky. If we lose to LSU and beat Kentucky, wouldn't LSU have, having beaten Kentucky and Tennessee, wouldn't they have the claim via head-to-head?
If they went out.
Yeah.
If they beat us, and
they would have the one seed.
Yes.
We could still claim a share, but
right.
Which is essentially what happened last year with Auburn. We were the two seed last year, right?
Yeah.
Right. But we're co-champs.
Co-champs. I don't even really recognize Auburn. The way they've faded off this year, kind of a bad look for them, in my opinion. I feel like that gives us the championship outright in retrospective. A retrospective outright championship. I'm claiming it. Take down the banner, Bruce. You didn't earn that. You didn't earn that. You didn't build that.
Ooh. Coming after Bruce.
I still love Bruce. I'm just saying. Stay with us. The Drive continues. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in, 546-8200. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell, Bear, and Brandon with you on a Thursday afternoon, rapidly becoming Thursday evening. Taking your phone calls, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Grant Ramey stopping by from GoVols 247 there. Talking a little Tennessee basketball. We'll hit the reset button for those of you just joining us today. Wild night in college basketball yesterday. All hell broke loose in the college game.
All hell broke loose.
Florida goes into Baton Rouge and pulls out the upset against LSU. Tennessee back in sole possession of first place in the SEC. We were just talking before the break there. Can the Vols hang on? Doesn't seem like the team is playing to its capacity right now. The schedule is definitely about to tighten up. Huge game. Huge game for Tennessee at LSU coming up this weekend. And they got to find their mojo. You had the day off yesterday. Can some of those bumps and bruises heal? Can you get ready to go into Baton Rouge and play your best game? Because I agree with what Grant said there. Oh, the effort we saw Tuesday against Vandy ain't going to cut it. Ain't going to cut it. You play that kind of game, you're probably going to get blown out again for the second Saturday in a row. And then what is the narrative surrounding Tennessee basketball become?
I don't want to think about it.
Right now, I feel like we're all like, okay, we know we're not playing our best. We know, but nobody pressed the panic button. Like, still good. Just a couple bumps and bruises. Guys in a slump here. Like, we'll snap out of it, right? Right? We're okay. We could say that. One more bad loss, I think, like, we'll be doing a major confrontational.
Yeah, I feel like the finger's on the button.
Yeah.
We're not pushing it, but it's like the button out in the lobby. your finger's on it. You're just ready to
Wait, so in this analogy, we don't want to push it, right?
No, you don't want to push the panic button.
No.
My God. Are we still on this, whether or not we're panicking?
We're talking about if we lose again, then it's time to hit the panic button.
I still don't think so.
If you get blown out on Saturday?
We ain't getting blown out. Golly, you two.
You said the same thing. You said the same thing last week.
Yeah, I was foolish. Andy Katz's new bracketology's out.
He does bracketology?
Apparently. We're the one seed in the Kansas City region.
That's where Jerry Palm has us. And I believe Lunardi as well. So that's okay. I'd take that right now. I'd take that right now. But we got to keep winning, man.
Yeah.
We got to keep winning.
That's the number that I care about is that I want that one seed. As I went back and looked, it's over 50%.
Well, yeah.
If you get the one seed, you've got a better than 50-50 chance of making the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, you want
to – and according to this one, our region looks very winnable. Tennessee, Lehigh, see who would play first. At St. John's, Oklahoma. Ooh, you got Iowa State, Auburn, or winner of Alabama, Georgetown, Maryland, Old Dominion, Wisconsin. Ooh, Auburn's in there with us. And this one, Houston, UC Irvine. We would not match up good against Houston.
I've not watched them play. I don't really know anything about them other than Kelvin Sampson and they're like borderline top 10 right now, aren't they?
Yeah. UC Irvine, Washington, Ohio State, North Carolina, and Texas State.
I think they weren't playing well earlier in the season. North Carolina. And it's hard to determine how much Zion leaving – like changed the complexion of that game, I guess.
It's just
a lot.
The way he left too. I mean, we've seen that happen to teams. We saw it, you know, in football. We saw it when Inky got hurt. I mean, it completely changed your season. But I mean, I think they just more than anything last night, they just kind of panicked. 30 seconds in, like you lose the heart and soul of your team.
President sitting right there,
Obese.
Maria Taylor strutting around, looking nice. Yeah, I mean, I was going to talk about Carolina. Man, I think they're pretty good. I think they're pretty good. Like, that's a team that could give us the matchup problems, you know? They've got the point guard with the quickness to handle bone. They've got Luke May, who's, I believe, about 32 years old now. He's really in the prime of his athletic career. And who was the who was the guard they like the 6'7" guard they have that clamored into the cameras on the baseline? That guy was I don't even know who that dude is. He's awesome. He might be a forward. Cameron something? Cam? He nice player, man. That's North Carolina is just it's blue blood, man. What do you expect? Those teams know how to peak at the right time, and they've certainly got it together here. So Zion is out momentarily. Reed Travis is out for 10 days to 2 weeks, according to John Calipari.
And when do we play Kentucky again? Next Saturday?
Yeah. So it would be right around the 10-day mark.
I bet he doesn't play in our game.
How does that change things if he doesn't?
He's their thug. Definitely be a lot easier to beat him.
Isn't it seems like Nick Richards, who I guess is – I'm assuming he's going to take his place. I mean, very similarly sized, right? I mean, he's not – he's a sophomore. Travis is a senior.
He ain't Reed Travis. Reed Travis is an older dude, rough.
I didn't think he had that in him. I knew he was a big player. I watched them a lot. That's one of the things that surprised me. It's like I knew they were going to try and be physical, but it's like, yeah, whatever. Like teams have been coming at us for a while now while we were number one. And again, I know the officials let them get away with murder, but it surprised me seeing that from Retry. I thought he was kind of finesse, quite frankly.
No.
Just watching them play earlier in the season.
No, he's a thug. On the court. I don't know about off the court. Don't know the man.
Just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. I mean.
Do you think it changes things significantly if he doesn't play?
Yeah.
Brandon?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like you said, I mean, yeah, they got the other guy who's similar in size. But
who comes in for him? Like, who's their third big guy at that point? I guess E.J. Montgomery.
Right, and kind of frees up Grant a little bit, frees up Kyle.
I think Grant is going to, you know, he's going to have something to prove in that game because he got thrown on the floor left and right, and he still had a nice game. What did he have, like 18-8 that game? Like, he had a nice statistical night at the end of the night, but it's just – and you had the comment, Tyler Harrow, saying that Grant Williams is afraid of P.J. Washington at, like – I have a feeling that Grant Williams is going to take that as a personal chat. It's personal.
I hope this so. Time. I hope he does. I mean, you saw late in that Vanderbilt game.
We've never seen him really challenged like that.
No, but late in the Vanderbilt game when it was kind of close,
he took over.
He took over. He was demanding the ball. He got it inside. And I mean, there's nothing Vanderbilt could do. I want to see that against Kentucky. I want to see him just absolutely dominate, take control,
just take it to
demand
him.
The ball,
yeah, and not back down at all defensively. Like, there might be something said again. I'm not let's injure somebody on purpose, guy, but there might be something said to send a message pretty early in that game, put somebody on the floor, which is not a hallmark of the Rick Barnes era,
yeah,
at all.
Harrow is who I would recommend. Put him about three rows up. Sit him down.
I thought just the other day it was P.J. Washington.
Nah, we ain't got anybody big enough to take P.J. Washington and put him up three rows. And Harrow was running his mouth after the game.
The other big news locally here, looks like a big change coming to Tennessee's football schedule. Going to move the Georgia game from October into November. Starting in 2020, it looks like. And that'll break up the October gauntlet that has been the bane of Tennessee's existence. I don't know if that's the, you know, probably terrible head coaches, the bane of Tennessee's existence the past couple of years in football. But that October gauntlet was a close second. It was a close second. It wasn't helping matters none. So get to break that up a little. What was the worst of the October gauntlet? I was thinking about that during the Logan Booker piece earlier. Was it the year we played Texas A&M? We went Georgia, A&M, Bama, South Carolina that year, I believe. Was that the worst it got? That was pretty brutal. At A&M, at Georgia, at A&M.
I thought it went, didn't it go Oklahoma, Florida, Georgia, A&M, Alabama? Arkansas was in there too, I think. No.
This was 2016. The Oklahoma was 2015. This would be the Virginia Tech year, the Battle of Bristol. That was – I don't think anybody would be missing that. You stick – and, you know, Missouri's no cakewalk, certainly. They've probably had our number more often than not since they've been in the league. But hopefully – that takes away a really cold weather trip that you have to make every other year. And it's not Georgia, man. I mean, they're just not. It's not as difficult a game. And that should lighten things up. And this is part of the benefit of having Philip Fulmer as your athletics director.
We're working like heck.
Stay with us. The Drive continues coming up. We'll get more of your phone calls in here. We'll also find out who's on the docket, brought to you by the Disability Advantage Group. Stay tuned. The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
It'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
The Docket, brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for disability benefits? Call DAG today at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
A softball coach with the Cy Fair Texas Sting organization has been fired and charged with assault after he allegedly attacked a grandmother at a game in an incident that was captured on her cell phone camera. 60-year-old Donna Edwards was attending her 11-year-old granddaughter's softball game. When she heard someone yelling obscenities from another field, she went over to record a video of the teenager she claims was cursing during the tournament game when a coach in the league, identified as James Schmidt, entered the stands and allegedly lunged at her and knocked her to the ground.
Huh?
In Cypress, Texas. Going after the grandma.
You know where Cypress is, Rick? Close to Plano?
Where is Cypress? See, I'm watching this. This is the umpire is coming over here. Okay, it's only 15 seconds, so I should be able to watch this, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
People get crazy. These, you think girls softball. Some kid stands up there and flips her off. And now this grown man comes over there and pushes the... Good grief, man. Good grief. What a clown.
What'd they charge him with? Assault?
According to Houston news station KHOU, Edward's son pulled the coach off of her, so her son's there. Bear, what's the bear doing if a grown man, 50-year-old man comes over and takes down the bear's mom?
he'd be in trouble. I mean, I've shown you my nephews. Three of them, no exaggeration. I can show you the videos. Those guys bench like, my nephews bench like 400 pounds regularly. They're meathead, just bruisers.
So
that guy'd end up, he'd be eating through a straw for about 4 to 6 months. Honestly.
The guy left the fields before the police arrived. They issued a warrant for his arrest, and he did turn himself in. I'm not sure what the exact charges are, assault or something of that nature, but awful. Just awful. Meanwhile, speaking of awful, a bus driver is under arrest after she allegedly passed out behind the wheel from a heroin overdose and rolled through an intersection into a tree. There were 12 children on the bus at the time, all with special needs.
So she was driving, this is a special ed bus driver, and she's jacking on heroin and having to get Narcan. Yeah.
Nobody injured. 57-year-old Lisa Bird charged with 12 counts of endangering the welfare of a child, driving while impaired, in possession of drug paraphernalia.
They put her ass in jail for like 5 or 6 years.
She had to be revived on the scene with Narcan by medics, according to police.
Scumbag. That's what I don't like, junior riding the bus. You know what I mean? It's a bus.
Yeah, we
bus
did
thing.
It. We came through unscathed. You never heard about anybody getting hurt on the bus when I was younger. And I realized it's a big steel death trap. No seat belts. Like some barely literate hooligan driving it. You got, that thing
Whoa.
Looks like it was built in 1952.
Taking a shot at bus drivers. Wow.
I'm sorry. Sure, the bus drivers are all...
Had kind of a bad run of it lately.
Very well read.
Between looking at their phones and... I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's the looking at the phones. And listen, somebody brought it up to me online. I'm not even going to say it. But the people got to put down the phone on the road, man. I drive the interstate
we've
every...
We've got a friend, mutual... Me and you know this guy. I'll tell you who it is, Brad. I won't embarrass him on air. I'm driving to work, I-40 West, and look over. He's in his company vehicle. And I look over, and he's just staring at his phone.
On the interstate. If you go on the interstate, I think people are actually more likely to do it on the interstate because they think, you get up, you're just driving a common speed, and it feels natural even though you're doing 60 or 70 miles per hour. Like, it's insane. But I feel like people... Less turning, I feel like people are more likely. I drive I-40 to get here every day, and like I was taking a look around today or yesterday. It's like, no joke, like 50% of the people you look at are looking at their damn phone driving on the interstate.
Well,
it's
I don't
insane.
Look at mine. Because you got to be able to swerve and dodge the idiots that are.
I mean, I will admit to peeking from time to time. I try not to, especially when the car's in motion. I'm awful about looking at it at any sort of stoplight situation or anything like that. And I'm not like looking at social media or certainly not texting or anything, but maybe you're like changing a song on the iPhone
yeah,
or
see, that's my
a different
biggest,
app or something like
that's
that.
That's my biggest thing.
But even
I used to have that urge. You know what I do? I go to TuneIn and just listen to the news or something, just put my headphones in.
It's an epidemic, man. It is an epidemic. I'll bet you that like 90% of the people are listening to this like, yeah, it's terrible. It's just awful, Russ. And I do it too. I shouldn't laugh, man. It is really bad.
What sucks is I got that ticket for doing it, and I really wasn't.
And they're like, yeah, right, Bear, whatever.
I mean, they threw it out of court. The guy, believe me, I have my GPS going.
Oh, yeah. And you were looking at it?
I glanced down for just a second.
Yeah, and they got you.
Still distracted driving.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Highway patrol.
How did anybody go anywhere without GPS? Hot. You had a hot cop?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Then I saw her a couple of weeks later.
It was one of your fantasies? Hot cop?
No.
Sir, would you step out of the car? Yes, I will, ma'am.
You, but I mean, cops don't really mix. Don't really jibe.
Whoa. What you got against the men and women of law enforcement?
Not a thing.
Protecting and serving, keeping you and I safe.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that they do.
I get along with all police officers.
Before you got married, would you have dated a cop?
Sure. Why not? What are they going to do? Like, pull you over for speeding while you're going on a date or something?
No.
Some guys like that. A strict woman likes to be in control.
Yeah. Not me.
Some guys enjoy that.
Do you?
No, not really. I don't do what I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I think that's what Mrs. Dubs has found out over the years.
She's got the patience of Job.
I'm just one of those guys. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. It's nothing personal. It's not it's not a sexist thing.
I don't mean that as a
it's
sexist
just,
comment.
I'm Rick, a sovereign individual, man. Do what I do. When I want to do it. America!
Hey, Rick, how's your new girlfriend coming along?
All right, let's take a quick time out. The drive continues. Speak now. Oh, by the way, Disability Advantage Group bringing you the docket every afternoon here on the drive. If you suffer from an injury, the last thing you want to do is jump through a bunch of hoops to get the proper legal representation during Social Security disability insurance application and appeals. Social Security Administration, notorious for requiring extensive paperwork, ample medical documentation, and drawn-out appeals processes. Disability Advantage Group makes it simple for you. One call does it all. Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, 566-0800, online at dag-us.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues. Sex Week update. Sex Week just around the corner. I mean, this is, you talk about events that put our university and our city in a public light. I don't think there's anything that shines the light on all the positive things happening in East Tennessee, quite like Sex Week at the University of Tennessee. Now, our Rick Butler, quality control analyst here at The Drive, is a UT student. You've been, this is what, year four for you at UT?
Yeah, year
wrapping
four.
Wrapping up your collegiate education at the School of Hard Knocks.
Yep.
So this is Sex Week number four for you.
This is my fourth Sex Week. I feel very invested in it at this point. I find the entire story from start to finish unbelievably fascinating.
So,
I have a question, Rick. Have you ever been to any of these
sessions? I thought those Sorry, go ahead.
I thought you went to Masturbation Station last year.
Well, actually, it's Masturbation Nation that one was.
I'm going to go ahead and jump in here because, you know, I've got a wife.
It's a family show,
kid.
Right.
Yeah, if you got young kids, we're doing the thing now, so you might want to, I don't know, put on the Disney Channel or something. Go ahead, Rick. I'm sorry.
Well, I've never attended a class. I wanted to for drive purposes last year. I wanted to get a full report so we could talk about it on the radio. Never got to go to one of the ones that I wanted to because it was during the 3 to 6 hours.
You and the rest of your freaky deaky friends over there at the university are an embarrassment.
Embarrassment.
Oh! Wow.
To anybody that grew up, attended, or roots for the University of Tennessee.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Now, I don't know what to tell you about that one.
The state comptroller.
Sure.
I don't know.
What the hell's a comptroller?
I have no idea.
They control the money?
I think so. I think that's the money guy. I think that's like state government, the guy with his hands on the purse strings, Uncle Moneybags.
You can't be taken seriously if you have the word troller in your name, in my opinion.
He released, I'm guessing it's a he, could be a she, I don't know, released a report to the General Assembly about UT's funding of Sex Week programming. Interim System President Randy Boyd and Interim Chancellor Wayne Davis attended the hearing and addressed the committee. What came out of that? What's the big hubbub at UT?
Yesterday, it was decided that basically what came out was that the University of Tennessee was automatically taking students' funds that were allocated to student resources stuff and putting them towards Sex Week. I think people found that out and people weren't happy about it. I think, you know, people who obviously don't agree with the Sex Week or the way that UT's putting it on were not happy about that. So yesterday, Boyd and Davis came out and said that now students would have the option to choose if they wanted their money to go there or not. So it was kind of confusing, you know, whether or not it looked like Tennessee was defending it
It's like a box on an application, yes or no.
It has got to be
so
unbelievably hard
to find. Let me get this straight. You and your freaky deaky friends hold on.
No, he's coming against this.
You've been just taking money from everybody to pay for this crap.
My money was taken. I didn't want my money going here.
If I were Kim and Warren, I'd pull you out of school right now, Rick, and get your ass back down to Plano, Texas.
It sounds like you want me off the drive.
I missed you.
Why? Because he might have
very funny.
Why? Because they might have a dominatrix coming down to the local T-Mac or whatever they call it.
The nice thing about Sex Week, and I'm being very sarcastic when I say nice, is the big keynote speaker of last year was a famous YouTuber. Their career is YouTube videos about sex.
Yeah, I feel like this is something the drive should go down. Broadcast and protest all at the same time.
Yeah, because that's going to go well.
Yeah,
local radio host Bear arrested after he is assaulting some 20-year-old kid in nipple clamps.
I'm not going to assault anybody.
Well. That's going to go well. That's a good look for the
drive. You know me, I'm fairly woke. This is just dumb.
See that? But that's what I have a problem with, Rick. Is what like. Whatever, man. To me, this is about the woke UT kids signaling to the other woke kids around the country how woke we are. It's a woke off. It is basically what it is. It is a woke off. Who can be the wokest? And it goes to just idiotic lengths.
Yes,
I mean, it's absolutely vulgar.
My problem would be if you take my money and like give it to some sex shop owner from San Francisco who's going to come over here and like. Demonstrate how to use a bunch of vibrators or something like that. That's just an absolutely ridiculous use of funds. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And I don't know this for a fact, but I really do think it is a very loud, vocal minority who is behind this. I think that the people who...
Behind pushing it to keep going.
I think the people who really do stand by Sex Week and they really believe in it, I do believe are a minority,
in Sex Week.
But they're so loud about it. The protests, they're everywhere.
That's everything in this country. The people cause
protest,
the problem are so loud.
I'll show up to your protest. That's just stupid. It's just vulgar and it's common.
So and now
they put all those
comment.
Stupid names on their seminars. Well, go down the list.
Oh,
God. Of them.
Oh, man. I'm so.
Please,
I blush.
If you're out there listening to us and you've got small children, turn off the radio.
What are the
now.
Classes?
You want me to go?
Is this year's classes or last year's?
This year's have not been released
okay.
yet. The event is going to be in April.
Yeah.
You want me to read like my top five favorites?
God. All right. Here we go. Avert your
gaze. I'm just gonna go for it. Yeah. All right. We have CSI, My Period, The Masturbation Nation, Your Vulva and You.
Oh my God.
Butt Stuff 2.0.
Oh my God.
Subtitled The Pegging. Toys R Sex. Sucking D and licking.
Whoa.
What are you?
One more sign that the apocalypse is upon us.
All right. That's
my university.
What do we
everybody.
Say? Rick Butler,
National
cut your mic off.
Embarrassment.
Cut your mic off.
Was that one bad?
No, I mean, you did a good job on reporting it, Rick. I mean, you're not a supporter of it.
Exercise some discretion, will you, man? I mean,
we asked him to. If you're going to keep talking, get back on the mic.
My fault. So they're going to do this again this week. I would think like Randy Boyd and Wayne Davis, they seem like the kind of guys that are as embarrassed about this crap as we are.
Anyone over the age of 19 or 20 is embarrassed about this.
Oh, and listen, I'm
outside
I'm
some
a
freaky deaky
man.
Professors over there that are, you know, whatever their agenda is. That just does disgust me.
Freaky deaky. You've used that 3 or 4 times.
Well, I mean, we're on the radio. I mean, wait till we get off, and I'll express myself how I normally do. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know about you. I like working here. I don't want to say anything to get me off.
Hopefully we get to do that.
Interesting. The show.
hopefully we get to work here tomorrow. That's all.
We're reporting the news. We aren't the ones making up these god-awful names.
Oh, we try and keep it local. Try and keep it local. That's what we try and do here on The Drive.
I mean, good Lord, do you see how much it costs for an in-state? Like, if me and you send our kids to UT, how much it's going to cost us?
D.C. Coltrane wants to have sex week in the Shire.
D.C. Coltrane is a known dullard.
Oh, sex week is always nicer in the Shire, it is.
Well, when does the butt stuff, art of pegging class start?
Oh, I don't know. Here in another week or two. The Masturbation Nation sounds like
all right. That sounds like a good place to end.
Nice. Heavy, black, and pendulous.
That sounds like a good place to end.
I'm horrified.
Overtime. Coming up next here on The Drive, it's Fox Sports Knoxville. If we still have a license, we'll talk to you tomorrow, 3 to 6. Tomorrow's Friday. This week just flew by. Can't believe it. Overtime coming up next. We'll do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6 here on The Drive.